Honorable Kekani, I think you raised that matter. I'll be covered on the matter when you respond to Honorable Kekani's question. The second issue that you see the problem that the Auditor General made their presentation to the committee and even about the various organizations and the entity. So maybe that has limited me to read your presentation because I had the Auditor General's views on your or outcome or findings around port audit. But what I don't pick it up, maybe will help, is that what has become the constraint in the period under review in terms of the regulatory activity? Because you are regulating. To what extent that activity has impact in terms of your delivery and so on? Because I think it's one area, because you are regulated, which I didn't pick it that much. Talking about to say these are the challenges which you are having about regulations and so on. I will tell you why when we do the oversight in research, remember talking about research Blue Fontaine. You've got one officer, postal officer in the entire research, who's supposed to enforce and do everything in post offices and so on. What impact does that have? Maybe it's good for post office because they're overstretched. But it does not help us in terms of making sure that you comply with your obligations, the license obligation you have. Because some of the issues they are raising of the queue, waiting and so on, is part of your obligation, what you agree when you're given a license or your performance standard, that people will queue for this much, da 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 da, and so on and so on. That's why you agree yourself. But I think the if there's one person in Bloemfontein or in Free State who's covering the entire Free State but this one, I actually read your report because I demanded them that I want a report for each and every post office, what is the status quo in terms of the regulatory act. I read some of your reports and those reports are not good. Which comes from the regulator and so on, which are given in terms of what is expected and so on. In terms from your building and environment, quite a number of things which are coming up in terms of those reports. But I don't want to deal with those reports. We'll call the regulator probably one time just to tell us about the compliance of license condition and the reports which they do from time to time for post office and so on. You'll be able to engage that particular point. But the point is that I just want to know the impact of the regulator on your day-to-day activities and so on. Don't go much in terms of your compliance. You think that at one point when that happens and so on. When I was going to ask my question, I won't go into that. The viability of cost. Your viability moving forward when you are separated with the post bank, I'm sure you read that matter, you'll be able to respond around that. The issue I've already raised, it will address it, the one of a clear program of action to address the wasteful and successful pension, and set the findings of Auditor General. And the other issue which I just picked up, which I wanted you to check was that If the problem is that yesterday they were laughing at me because the age seems to be catching up with me. Sometimes I just forgot something that people presenting. Your request of funding for UFO moving forward. Because what I'm having, what the OC probably showed up, although they still have to motivate themselves, it seems to say you need around 1.3 billion. If I'm not mistaken, no, might not be your entire fund. It's saying universal service obligation. You were saying you are running out of that 2013-2014, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But yet the OCS put 2014-2015 172. But that is not only what you need. I'm just talking about USO. You've got other requests there. of your CAPEX project. I'm sure when you combine it, 797. Around that. So I also thought that your IT system is 250, but it's spread over there. So I wanted you to explain this and also to tell us what became a priority. You see, the problem is that when you look the OC entirely for 2014-2015, they need around 9 billion. 9 billion just the OC. You've got 34 or 36 departments in the country. Surely, if the OC needs around 9 billion, it can't happen. People need to prioritize what comes first. What can you live with or without? Yes. So when you talk about that, we requested the OC to send us back this thing with a well-motivated one. But they have not done that until now. What's why in this meeting? So we can read what was the motivation there so that we understand, because these are just things that they explain, there's no motivation. Why these or not that and so on. So if you can help us also in terms of your request moving forward, what expect are the areas there so that in our report we are able to expect our view for the appropriation committee of parliament when they look into those particular matters and so on. Thank you very much, Chair. Then you can report.
Chair Kicker, and thanks to all the honourable members for the question. We are requesting as a board to start with the issues which deal with the governance issues, because some board members are having to leave by 12 o'clock. Because we are, as part of our legal action, having to deal with these issues and seeing the region. Some of the board members are attending, so they have to go together to meet with the regions, because we're meeting with our staff in terms of trying to deal with some of these issues on the corrective action from the library. So, if that's allowed, then we'll deal with the questions, you know, once, and if we have enough time for the other questions. I wouldn't want to present it in the absence of the board members. But Chairperson, I think let us, as a South Temple office, not just for the board, all of us, own up, you know, first and foremost, to the problem that we unveiled. I'm saying we unveiled because we were not caught with this problem. We discovered this problem. This problem was discovered by our staff members before we dealt with it. As the Afghan Post Office, around the issue of the corporate, we raised issues as a board before we finalized it, and our management to deal with those issues before we deal with that. And we were provided this information in terms of that, and we thought the information that was presented to us in terms of the specific questions that we asked that are part of our fiduciary duty would be assisting us to deal with the issue. Subsequently, we discovered that information had gaps, and we were very lucky in terms of the members of staff who came forward and showed us that what we have in some of us is not actually dealing with what we understand to be the issue with the members. So, on understanding that was about 18 months ago, on understanding that, we then started with investigations. I must also say that as a board, we've got very strong committees. And the committees are very functional. And honorable members, I would like to also start by stating that in our annual report, the board members have disclosed the audit report that honorable member reference was referring to in our report. We put that forward. It is our audit report. We disclose in there the issues, and I'll ask the chair of audit to just talk to that question specifically. So we are the ones, and the report of the chairperson as well, the opening remarks, do disclose the issues of irregularities, because we are the ones who were involved in discovering this and also who acted on it. And I just want to take number so that we can appreciate where this comes from. So the entry point in terms of the issue was the eco point. But generally, as a rule, in terms of our committee, we are always on the lookout in terms of government issues in the company. And it's just a matter of business. They don't become big. We are constantly dealing with control deficiencies, and we identify them and we deal with them. The issue in this case was, the size and the complexity of the issue we dealt with, which actually pointed us to the various, control deficiencies that we needed to pay more attention to. But the corporate governance within the post office for us forms part of the proactive approach in terms of governance by the board and corporate and compliance. And these are the number of the framework by which we have to abide and comply. And they deal with the various areas. But what I want to highlight here, we have had the last 2 years to deal with the alignment with King Trees in terms of the implementation of the recommendations as well as the new company act. Last year, thanks to the members of parliament who were assisted in terms of the promulgation of the Post-Time Act, that's something else that we needed to do, as well as the amendment of the Post Office Act, the team that we worked with, to the point of being tabled within this parliament. So basically, we were not waiting. We started dealing with that because we had some areas of the board we felt we needed to strengthen. And in terms of that, it was also particularly on subsidiaries. We were initially had one audit committee for the whole group. But we recognized that, for us to deal very directly and in more detail, we needed to set up a new audit committee for the subsidiaries. And I must say this was a very useful point, because some of the issues that we've unpacked that form part of what we're dealing with now are coming from us dealing with all those audit committees, and also besides audit committees, we've got the risk committee, we've got ADAR committee, so we're picking up issues all the way. So I just want to say that this came out of the vigilance, particularly from the board side. What has happened is that after the investigation, we had two levels of investigation. We had the investigation where we commissioned service providers who deal specifically with the area to look into the governance issues that are specific to the eco point. And thereafter, we picked up some things. At that time, the whistleblower referred us, to service providers that were appointed. But as we looked into it, we recognized that it's not just about service providers. It's generally, overall, there were issues around it. The issues mainly pointed us to the property unit, that we are having problems in terms of the property unit as an organization. And the whole origination of procurement around EcoBoy is basically moving from the property area. And it also referred us to some policy issues from a procurement perspective that we needed to strengthen around the property side. Property is a big portfolio in terms of the post office. And we started by basically making it difficult to try to enable properties. But properties is a division that operates and has to come up with so many new properties every year. We're showing like last year we had 26 new ones and so many refurbishments. So we have to generally enable the division of properties to be able to do their job. But what we discovered is that within that, we need to find ways of making sure that we close the gap in terms of different levels of delegation that will make sure that we deal with issues more efficiently. But with that said, to a greater extent with all the work that was presented to us, the policies that cover were there, the structures and procedures were clear. What we found that we're dealing with is that the contraventions that were there that we picked up were to a high extent dealing with issues of non-compliance. So we began to look at this very specifically and started looking at the investigations broader than just the service provider to look closer in terms of issues of accountability. Who's supposed to do where, what, and where. And the second level of investigation also, with more information that was coming to us as a board, focused on specific individuals who are supposed to be taking responsibility in terms of the area. And it is at that point that we looked specifically in terms of the who, and there were two areas that emerged out of that investigation. One was issues relating to non-compliance, issues relating to misrepresentation of facts to the board, and those were areas that we needed to test in terms of people who might and potential misconduct that we needed to look at, that is particularly in terms of the chapter 10 of the PSMA. So the investigation that continued pointed to these areas. What we did as a board, just to make sure that, because, you know, investigations are very difficult in a constitutional democracy as ours, because everybody is protected. Before you come up with charges for anybody, you have to be clear that those charges can be stand. And also, you come with charges with the understanding that you create a space for verification and that the process has to be fair and allow people space to respond to the charges. So, it is at that point that we pick up two different cases. I'm talking overall. There were cases that were specifically referring to the property division. And at that point, we needed to pay attention to what was emerging and alleged as far as individuals in the property division. And this refers to the head of the property division and another senior manager. And in terms of that, the contract of the head of the property division was ending. And we agreed not to renew. As we had, some of these cases that were coming. And another senior manager there as well resigned whilst we were dealing with those cases. But, and this is something that I want to also emphasize, that when a person resigns or a contract terminates, it does not mean we cannot move when stuff emerges against them. There was alleged criminal behavior in terms of these two. Even though they are no longer with us, we followed up on those cases and presented them to the police. As we speak, the police are dealing with those individuals. So, but what is important is that the fact that those people are not with us, have been resigned or contracted, ended, it creates space for us to clean up the property division. So in remedial action, there is very focused team within the board working with the executive that is at this point working on a turnaround strategy for the property division. The other side of this was a finding which came from the report that specifically refers to governance contraventions as well as the compliance, the non-compliance as part of that. So what we did there, and this was pointing specifically to the CEO, COO, and you know, senior manager and executive. And in terms of that, we started the proceedings as proposed in terms of disciplinary action. However, that follows the contract. The contract of the individuals are very clear in terms of how do you deal with issues of disciplinary methods. So for executive directors, we've got a very specific approach, and for executives, you know, so each contract sort of directs you in terms of how you deal with those situations. So we proceeded, and what we said as a board was the agreement between ourselves, the CEO and the executives, was that we will deal with those cases that are at a sensitive level, particularly the executive directors. And the cases that emerge that are at a lower level will be managed by the managers, obviously reporting to the board in terms of the program. So our focus basically is on the internal audit within the company is specifically focused on the remedial action internally, as I mean everybody is, but led by as far as that is concerned. So the cases that, and you will appreciate the fact that I cannot deal with the details of the cases, because as we speak, we are still dealing with those cases. But generally the finding in terms of these cases is that they limit themselves to the areas of non-compliance. We have not as yet, in terms of the executive director cases, had any evidence that talks to fraud and criminality as yet. So what we're dealing with is specifically what the findings pointed us to. And this is important because we find in media many a time there's a confusion about the meaning of irregular and the meaning of wasteful and prudent, but irregular particularly because the irregular amount tends to be very big. The irregularities in this case is that there is no money in anybody's pocket that has come from our members, I mean our staff members, to outsiders. The irregularity is in terms of the procedure, compliance policies and procedure in terms of clean conduct. So even this money, it deals with the total contract overall. Money that is still to be paid as far as the contract is concerned.
That's all, Honorable Sir.
If you allow me, I just want to use this as a because we do understand what is the risk, what is the recipient. Our question is related to action taken, look to why it happened. That's what I want to tell you.
Chair, I'm sure you get the question.
Thanks, I do know.
Because the question is why will a person do all these things, but he or she is not going to benefit? Why do you decide to bypass processes but you don't tend to benefit anyway? But yeah, you've got all the zeal and oomph of doing things wrong, but you're not going to benefit. So I think that becomes the bigger question, but you can proceed.
Okay, thank you. I don't remember. Thank
you. I'll also request that to make sure that we understand we shouldn't be late, but we should be talking on this issue now for the
Okay, thank you.
He
can run. Thank you. So basically, Chair, thank you so much, and apologies, Honorable Members. I think critically the point that I was trying to get to is in terms of specifically that the question is why did the people do that? This is where we still are in terms of the hearings and the investigations that we are engaged in. So at this point, I would not be able to answer that question, because this is what we are also asking ourselves. Because we put the rules there, everything is clear, why are people not behaving the way they are supposed to behave? So this is what is happening. And every case assists or is linked to the other case. Whether one case is concluded, we still at this point cannot talk about that, because there one is linked to the other. So we are not at liberty, even in cases where it is used, that we would have concluded, because there are linkages. And until we get to the final one, we'll be able to give a report as far as that is concerned. So where we are sitting now is that we are at the point of the leave of absence as far as the CEO is concerned. And the agreement was that we continue with the hearing, because this is where we are now, and then pending the outcome, we will come back and indicate. As indicated as well, as far as Mr. Walter is concerned, we have agreed in terms of the termination of the contract. So I'll stop at that level. In terms of the other processes, they are continuing. I just want to talk now to the corrective action. As far as the corrective action is concerned, we have, as a board, set and foremost, I mean, because there are two levels that we, I mean, we disclose as expected in terms of the Chapter 10 of the PSMA in the annual report. We've conducted and are still conducting the intensive investigations and will provide, you know, a full report once we conclude. But what is important are the tightening, is the tightening of processes to prevent the reoccurrence and law enforcement agencies, I mean, in terms of this, and working together with the law enforcement agencies. This is what is done in terms of corrective action. First and foremost, we've worked very closely with EXCO. We've communicated to our EXCO the findings and where these findings are leading us in order to deal with the areas. As a board, we came up with task teams that are very specifically dealing with the areas that have been identified from an audit perspective, but more importantly, from our own investigations in terms of what we are having to do. The other area, the critical area for us in terms of this is procurement as well as contracts. Because one of the things that we found as a board is that in terms of our delegation, some of the contracts, you know, the management of contracts is an area that needs bigger attention, and a lot of focus now is in terms of beefing up from a capacity perspective the areas of contract and compliance. And then secondly, another area which we felt needed more beefing up is security and investigation, because we felt that we needed to strengthen that area so that the number of cases, because we found that some of the cases that were identified were also cases that security and investigation had started looking at, but was taking a bit longer to do, to conclude them. So at this point, we are, and this is where the board members are going now to deal with the risk issue, sitting down with inclusive there would be security and investigation and internal audits. Because our point is, we believe that if we strengthen these units, we'll be able to pick up issues and act on them. But and the critical element in terms of the why, Honorable Member, which is a big challenge for us, is the issue of accountability. Because we find that some of these issues have been raised, and this is where, you know, the whistleblowing was coming in. The whistleblowing was showing us that this issue came up, I raised it with my boss, but there was no action taken. So where we are focusing at this point is to look at how best do we push the issue of accountability? And how as a board, because where last week before I gave to my other board members, where we found the issue, in terms of our delegation, it is clear what comes to us and how we deal with it. The problem is oversight in terms of levels of delegation that are within the management level. Because, you know, between those are areas that we need to tighten. So to deal with that, we've come up with the transitional governance arrangement, which basically at this point makes sure that the board is making management clearly aware of the area. So in terms of the transitional governance structure, this is what we're putting on the board. We've got the board of directors now, you know, tightening that oversight. We've got the structures that were there, but we had issues in terms of their performance. That is the project and capital investment committee, which deals with those properties, tenders that come in or plans. The procurement committee, because what would happen is that those two committees would then deal with it before it comes to ESCO. So where we found that the problem was basically in terms of the relationship of these three. So what is now introduced together with ESCO to deal with this is what we call an increment of cost. Operations committee. And the operations committee is basically to ensure that there is direct accountability, to push accountability at business unit level. Because the issue of accountability between the business unit and the COO was an issue that needed to be clarified and tightened. So at this point, we are making sure that each business unit has clarity in terms of delegation of authority and accountability, and how the structures that have been put forward are being used effectively. So those are some examples in terms of the arrangements that we're putting forward to make sure that, you know, there is specific dealing with the area. But I'll get the chair of audit just to talk about the audit issues and the report.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, the question that was raised was around the, there are two components in the audit report, and I'll deal with them. The one related to TDC, and the other one related to the deterioration of the control environment that we reported on. Can I just state up front that this is the board report, it's our responsibility, and we're reporting to all stakeholders. So when the AG talks about findings, it's our findings, which we share with the AG. I know we are responsible towards the AG, so let me just put that up front. In terms of King 3, we are in the process of implementing King 3. So we're not quite there yet. The two outstanding points there, one is the combined assurance, the internal audit, external audit, and line management. So hope to be there fully compliant in terms of Team 3 by next year. The other component that that was questioned was that of the CFO. We always assess the CFO as a board committee. But in terms of King 3, it's a formal process. And we haven't fully complied with this formal process yet. But I don't think there would be much difference in the way that King 3 does it as opposed to the way that we have it. But we were able to say very clearly that we've complied, basically. So, may I just pause here? Any questions on that?
You can continue and finish, the members would ask.
Okay. Then around the 14, matters that concern us as an audit committee. And compared to last year, we noticed the trend of deterioration taking place, and that's what we're reporting on. So we're talking about procurement, IT, vacancy, supervisory control. I suppose the question that is asked is what are we doing about it? In all of the instances, the generic answer to this is that it is being addressed, and we are monitoring it as an audit committee. For example, vacancies, we've assisted management and board with the major or the most senior positions. For example, Munaya Justin White with us, CIO for the group, a major leadership role to be played in the high key. So that's just by way of example. Around supervisory controls, reviews of policies and procedures, which is ongoing, and emphasizing compliance, and rollout of with assistance from internal audit, that is continuous. I'm going to just check something here. Yeah, so in every other aspect, management, poor management, supervisors, disciplines, and capabilities, is ensuring with management that the appropriate skills are in training has been spoken about. So that is being addressed. And then, of course, the wasteful and fruitless expenditure, which is also in this report, that will be dealt with by the CEO. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other member who wants to? Okay. I think, thanks, Chair. I think at this point, that's what we'll say. That, I mean, we'll consider it and we'll do this as possible.
Members, I just want us to finish this one because the chairperson say other board members have to leave, then we'll go to the normal issue. If you want questions around you, so that then we can go to the other questions. Honorable Stephen, Honorable Sutter.
Yes, this is just.
But it's very interesting how Honorable Gagan deals with it. When the opening statement, we were talking about the issue around the property management. And the chairperson, when he emphasized the problem, indeed it was around that particular matter of management. So it's very interesting how Honorable Kiel.
Yes, it's not the first time that I've noticed that. Chairperson, can I establish? It was indicated that there were some concerns raised over an 18-month period, and it is just a concern that it is the first time recently that the committee, portfolio committee, became aware of it. Was it not? Would it not have been more prudent for the board to actually advise the committee that they are investigating, etc., because that would have given more credibility? Because in the past, we've had just very salary reports, and we were all very excited, and I think that is why we were so disappointed when we heard about it. So I just want to ask, was it not perhaps an only time? Secondly, how often does the board meet? And with this crisis, that is very necessary to open and to process quickly. Will you have any further additional meetings, or do you have, what is the time you want to deal with it? Because it is good that you've established an infrastructure, because there's clearly now, with disciplinary action taken, its key strategic senior position. It's very bad. Who are the acting people, and or is it now being taken over, the function being taken over by this committee that is actually managing the affairs? Because if you look at the model of the post office and you look going forward, and that will also link up with some of the other questions, the sustainability of the model compared to international trends, what are the strategic considerations that will also determine what the chairperson has asked you about reaching your universal service obligation? But what are international trends? It doesn't help that we are establishing a model that is not going to be affordable, and in 3 to 4 years, the whole strategy and the whole model must be revised in any case. And then we've had strict expenditure on the expansion that we cannot sustain and maintain in the country. Thank you.
Honourable Stella.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson, for the talk. But in regard to the cases of BC and others, I hear the Chairperson is saying most of the cases are linked. If you deal with this one, it's linked to the other case. And she's also saying some of the information she cannot present it here today, because the decisions are still on. I do understand that. Just want to check for how long. Do you have any estimate of a time frame for how long will this investigation take place, so that we know when we agree that as soon as we are done, we inform the committee and we brief us, because this is a matter of national interest. Sometimes certain members of parliament, we hear things from the newspaper. They are saying here today, it's a duty care, you cannot inform us. But I'm telling you, we might be surprised tomorrow, the same information that we are denied and today. That information is from newspapers. I mean, it's like we are able to come and check it. That's only my concern. That if it's a duty care to ask, but how does the media always get that kind of information? Thank you, Chair.
You assisted me, because you know, for me, when the explanation is long and goes on and on, to be honest, it loses me. Because those things are mentioned at the same time, and you end up not knowing exactly where you are. Now, I hear with wastage, I mean, as regards the issue of property and procurement, supervision, line management, so many things are just clustered together, and that we will not be able to follow exactly where we are. What my question is, properties, it seems like they are problems. And I've quoted the one in Jamlani, that the post office there, which is used, went into the mall. And it simply does that, just all over the shop property. So I'm saying, they are coming where they are needed. I can understand about procurement and so on, but I'm saying that case has been going on for 5 years, because it does oppose my parliamentary constitution. Now, this has been going on for 5 years, and we have made requests, and up to today, business solved. We need to get an idea, when are you putting out your property? You see, my problem is that far for me, it looks like we're getting ambiguous answers. And if we're getting ambiguous answers, we're not able to pin down on a finger and say, this is how we're going to solve the problem. I'm dealing with assets. If it is life management problem, we're proven to them, and they also say they are waiting for us into their office. So I'm asking, can we get an exact explanation as to every kind of property, how are you going to resolve it? Because these are problems that have been long taken for us.
Thanks, sir. I think let me start with the last one. Indeed, I mean,
before I start with the last one, it's fine. You can start with it, but here in the end, your overarching report does not help. But it helps in terms of identifying weaknesses. I thought you were going to say on the issue, just the way you with SSDC, their message is banned and other things. They told us their message is banned and related luxury cars and the other things they chose to go into. You see, it does not help. If you have the information, maybe you can help us. We don't want to compromise your case, you understand, that you can't go deep into the case because you are dealing with the case. One,
the challenge I'm having is that you are still investigating, you have not yet finished investigating if I hear it correct. Because why I'm saying that is because you don't know whether people have personally benefited or not. We are not at liberty, or you don't know about that because it's an ongoing investigation. I raised the question, why a person will choose to deviate from the normal process without a person benefiting, then you said there's still ongoing investigation currently. You can't confirm that people benefited or criminality and so on process not finished that. The only thing which we are sure about is that people didn't follow correct procedures to engage in whatever they're engaging in. So you see, that answer does not help. And as a start, that answer does not help. We need to understand. Just at that point, exactly. Secondly, I would ask that if that's the case, why do you have to go all these routes, leave of absence and whatever, but it's the only way of irregularity in terms of processes, there's no other link, benefits, and the other thing people which must have been saying, other things and so on. And that's just to understand, because you must just make us to understand the 27. But I thought you would say, this is the broader issue. These are the number of employees in the in SAPO are involved. At what level? I understand the executive is the lower one. How many are they? We know in SAPC, plus or minus 1,700 employees are engaging in business with SAPC. In this case, we don't know how many people are involved. How big is the route in SAPO? Because I can assure you this road started sometimes back. If you go to any post office, employees are complaining there about blunted, sometimes favoritism in terms of appointment and other things. It's happening. Any post office you go, those employees are raising those issues. But you see sometimes you say, no, those are issues they are raising. But I hope this case will be able to also to uncover the road in SAPO, because SAPO has been privatized by senior managers. To a certain extent, is their property, is their company, they do as they wish. They fire you, they do whatever, they appoint their keys, they appoint whatever they want to appoint. That's what is happening in practice. If you want proof, we can give. So, we want to understand the detail of these things to those issues so that, because we are doing constituents were true, so that we know that this thing doesn't talk to issues raised by those people who already do constituency work. In between, then we know that we have to wait until it has been finished. But I can assure you where I am, that the road starts from the branch manager in post office going up, the way they are dealing with things. So, to what extent this investigation is going to unravel the behavior and the conduct of managers in staff? Because that is rotten. I don't know to what extent, but from where I am, doing my constituent work, that is rotten. But I don't want to prejudge that, because as we have said, that there are also good men and women in SAPO who work hard to make sure that this business continues to run. But that does not exclude some of the people in post office who have resolved that the thing they will put, they will do good is just to do wrong. Because there are those people in SAPO, they have resolved things that the things that they are going to do good to do wrong, and they are doing that as such. Like I'm telling you, I can give you names, supervisors, area managers, and so on, going up, what are they doing, and so on, and then you go up, and so on. So, if you can help us whether this ongoing investigation, broad as it is going to unravel those activities, because I think this is an opportunity to deal with SAPO once and for all. Once and for all, so that people understand that in SAPO they are appointed to do a specific job, they are not the company owner. They have to comply with certain processes and certain policies within SAPO, it's not their company. Even your company, their labor relation, no provision, how do you do things and so on, you don't do as you wish, as current people think in SAPO and so on. So help us check how many people are involved, at what level, what is the broader scope of the investigation? Because I think it took 18 months because we were trying to do a comprehensive one, not a short one, so that we are able to unravel how far the cancer is already secret in. So take us through that. I'm sure that does not compromise the case. What I'm raising, I'm sure does not compromise the case in any way. But it helps empower these members to understand what we are dealing with. Because I can assure you, journalists know what is happening because they do talk to me. And even tell me, you see, this, then I just keep quiet. Then after some time, it happens, as they say. So what the member is raising is true, that the only people who seem not to be correct in the upstairs is us. But generally, outside this meeting, they've got the whole information, and they get it as they wish. I don't know how, but they just get the information. And when we finish this meeting, maybe tomorrow, one paper will have a front page cover talking about things we should talk about. But we are appearing before us. We are not there privileged to get those things. So we want to change the way we do things. The business of doing things has to change if you want to be an effective community. And everyone understands that like the rules of the game is changing in terms of how you want to deal with things. So, Chair, if you don't mind, I understand the overarching, but can you go into specific of the case? How many people are involved? At what level? To what extent? And so on and so on. We understand that as one issue, and you know, so that we've got a broader understanding of the cases itself. But I appreciate the presentation. It shows what are you doing way forward. One issue, Chair, is that we need time frame. You see, for us to do oversight, we must be guided by time frame. We cannot get an open-ended program of action. We want a program of action which is time bound, so that we know when must we come back to you and say how far our progress. And we don't want to put you under pressure every week calling you. We must just know what time do you need to deal in particular to change around this issue, so that we give you your time and space, you do your work, and then we know when I'm going to come back and present a progress report on this matter. So we want the jewels part of this chair, not the bones. I know the jewels come from the bone. Thank you very much for the bone. Now we need the jewels part of it.
Thank you so much, and thanks to the members. It's a very difficult ask, if I may say, but I will explain why I'm saying that. But let me just quickly deal with those that are easy to answer. The time frame, honorable member, in terms of our visual services to conclude, is that by December we should have concluded this so that we can come up with a report to you and a report to you every next year. So, and part of it is because also in this interim period, we have to structure what comes out because we've got positions to fill agency, and we need to be able to fill those positions with clarity from the work that unfolds at this point. So the time frame in terms of the overall process is supposedly December. And in terms of the milestone thus far, we believe that, you know, the transitional processes will be able to meet there. But overall, in terms of the cases, sometimes, I mean, it depends on how things move, but to a great extent, we hoping to get direction on most of the time. Let me deal with the issue of the case and the first question by the honorable member on 8 months. I think that maybe we need to, together with the committee, at some point deal with how we deal with the feedback on the issue. Because at that, you know, when we started this investigation, it was an internal investigation that we do, you know, on most cases that we deal with, that we will find something and do an investigation. So you don't expect that thing to come up as a major issue that it can come now. So you are expecting me to point you in terms of what's happening in the company. So when I started with that, it was just one of the investigations that we conduct as a company, and we were not expecting that. It was as it was unfolding that we recognized the gravity and enormity of the issue. But I would like to say that in terms of dealing with the chairperson's question, at this point, we cannot give the chairperson the number. I would prefer that we prepare a report at the time that I was indicating in December, where between the work that we're doing as a board and the work that is delegated to management in terms of the investigation, we combine the report that we bring to this committee, which will deal specifically, because Chair, as you're rightfully saying, the issue we're dealing with as an entry point was the eco point. But some of the cases that you are citing in terms of area management and others are broader than the scope of the case that was specifically focusing on the government issues relating to eco point. And already, I mean, from the work that has come up, it became clear that the issues are broader. And some of the issues that were reported in the annual report emanated from the eco point, but pointed us to other cases. So I would say that because we have to deal with this systematically, I would urge the committee, in terms of giving the statistics and numbers, for us to compile the report and provide a proper report as far as that is concerned. Your question in terms of what specifically, let me cite to you, Chair and the honorable members, you know, the issues that one will deal with. For instance, I mean, we deal with the governance and compliance issues in terms of our cases with the lawyers that we are going to look at that. The complexity of the investigation, which we refer to the police, is that if there's an allegation that somebody benefited, you need to get the kind of authority from the security and investigation that we have authority to check the bank account, to check, you know, what. So that level of detail is what takes you to whether a person has benefited or not benefited. That is what we refer to the security agency. And that is what we have referred at this point. Because we do not have the capacity at this point to say so and so benefited so much. The police are dealing with those reports. They are in contact with us in terms of the progress, but they have not finalized. So it is only when we get to that point where we will be able to say so and so, you know, did not comply with the law and did not benefit. So and so did not comply with the law and also benefited. Or so and so, you know. So that is what we're talking about in terms of this, which at this point we are not in a position to divulge in this meeting. So, Chair, I, on behalf of the team, would really plead that we are almost towards conclusion of this process. And if it's something that we truly determined to be transparent about, but we really are requesting that will be provided to the position. We are at the most sensitive stages of the investigation at this point, and we really urge and request that the committee just allows us a few months for us to be able to come back and brief appropriately. So, as far as the property side is concerned, I can confirm, honorable member, that we have appointed a new team to specifically look at that. Part of our 18-month process was not, we're not investigating all the time. We're investigating, identifying something, appointing, remove somebody, bringing an acting head to the property. begin a process to bring expertise to make you understand and deal with the individual. So it's been that kind of a process. And around properties, the issues that you raised are part of what we've uncovered and will be able to report more directly in the next meeting. And I will make sure also on that specific case you're talking about that our executives have noted this and make sure that we follow up.
That's it, member. The investigations at the sensitive stage. They might not be able to talk about the we read about it in the newspaper or not. I can assure you, we will read about it. We always do. But it's okay. And like I indicated yesterday, that my problem in closed meetings is that the media also want to hear what we are talking about in a closed meeting, so it becomes a closed open meeting, which does not serve the purpose of a closed meeting. But the other issue, Chair, which must report, what are the conditions of the CFO release? The CFO was resigning, the CEO who has resigned. What are the conditions? Because there is a trend in state-owned entities that the leaving of people accompanied by golden handshake. We want to know what are the conditions of the CEO or leaving. Cut and dry.
Chair, there's no golden handshake. I'm sorry, because the conditions are very specifically linked to the contract. The contract is very specific on certain areas. For instance, the contract does not allow the relation. So we have to agree together that we terminate. So when we're talking about settlement, also to deal mainly with the contractual issues and also make sure that legally we are aligned and not contradicting. So to a greater extent, the issues that are there are about contractual obligations and basically the overall law in terms of whatever transpires thereafter, you know, will take place. But there is no golden handshake.
That's it, members, on the issue which
you wanted so much to be discussed. We'll get a progress report in December. Parliament is sending down 29 November until next year. What technically means is that we can only deal with the matter now in 18 months. We can only deal with that matter when it's ready to be 20 or 24 months old. Because Parliament is setting it down end of November. So can we get a report before end of November? Before Parliament sets it down, so that we don't deal with the like Auditor General, we deal with a year issue. And we want to deal with current issues. Not issues which I have got the last in terms of time. Probably that will help us, Chair, to deal with that. The reports of the audit committee will prefer that if we can get that report with a clear time frame. When are you dealing with the King Street issues? When are you going to finalize them? What are you doing? When are you going to finalize them? In a, like I was saying, in sort of a program of action situation. As you were making the presentation that you are busy with the issues and so on. But if you can be able just to give us that report to say the compliance of King to the report, this is what we do, this will be the time where it will be complying with and so on. We don't want to put the time to you. You know how much work you must do. So it should be realistic and achievable target in terms of time which you want to do. I think the member wants to speak on a reflex.
Yes, Mr. Just in the report that you if we could perhaps also just ask by that time if you would give us an indication of what the risk, additional risk to the organisation would be and the possible fruitless expenditure that we can prepare ourselves to run for this emanating from financial losses.
I'm sure you will be able to do that. You can go.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. In terms of PC, we will be fully compliant in terms of the reporting requirements by next year. We will be present the financial statements.
No, it's okay. Start put it nicely on the paper
and then send it to us so that we've got it. We can always respect it. As you said in this
document.
Isn't it that I was saying we need to change the rules of the game? We need to move to a situation where we come to the meeting, we go to the paper, input and output. And the benefit economically and social. You see, this thing is wasting our time to talk about figures here. Yeah, we should be reviewing how far have we improved the lives of our people with social benefits. Not just the numbers, how many outlets and so on. If 20 of them have been built, what was the social benefit in that community? We need to start to move in terms of that, not to just give you the hardcore numbers. I think that's all. So it's fine, we'll get there. Time will tell. But we need to spend more time dealing with the issue of service delivery and the impact of it better than these figures and other things as well. Can we go to the other question?
Yeah, we can. So I just want to say, Jay, on the structure which Honorable asked, all those posts are filled. So we're not talking about the new structure. What we're trying to do is to realign to make sure, particularly on the issue of accountability, and make sure that those areas that you are identifying can now begin to be addressed with the people who are taking those decisions. I also wanted to say on the issue of King Street, with Advocate Soho, who's here, who's the chairman, is actually a member of the King Committee, and he has been part of the committee. She's one of the people who will make sure that when we go through this, we don't put it and get it properly done. So we have been doing it, but given the truth that, you know, until you're sticking everywhere, you cannot say you are doing it. So, I mean, when we say we have to shift, but also in the same time, like all of us as board members in terms of protecting.
Thank you very much.
You see, one issue is good if that is the case, because we might also need her to come and school the committee about the King's Three work. You see, I normally say I don't like to talk about the things which I don't understand. Someone
was saying a sterile politics is dangerous.
Yeah. You see, if you politics sterile, it's dangerous.
So, maybe at one point, if
time permits, she'll be able to come and school us about things. Reports and related activities. So we'll be glad to do that. Otherwise, you touch an important issue, which I'm sure we responded to, and the other issue is responded to. The president of the country make a call that all vacant funded posts must be filled within 6 months. We'd love to get a report around that. I've already dispatched a letter to the minister, which probably will go ahead to you entities. Want to know how many posts are vacant, funded, when did they become open, at what date they were filled, at all levels, from a cleaner to the expert, as one issue. The second point there, you see that is the job creation. What is your anticipation of creating jobs as staff? Those are national imperatives, so you have to respond to them. So that we understand how to comply with those particular issues as well. Let's go to the other issues. The rest by Juma.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll deal with the other matters. If you will allow, I'll just deal with the broader business issues, and then I'll bring in other ASCO members that can deal with areas related to specific responsibilities. The first question on the relating to the USO obligations and the OPEX versus CAPEX question. The operational, if you back out the staff costs, our operational OPEX is around about 2 billion rand per annum. And the CAPEX is around about 350 million rand per annum. And you're quite right to say that if you keep shrinking your CAPEX for too long, it starts to impact your infrastructure. What happens then? The OPEX goes up. So it becomes a vicious circle. Most of our capital expenditures to date has been really sorting out the problems of the past. And the post office was losing lots of money. There was no investment in capex. And the danger is if it gets back into a loss position, we'll go back. So it's very, very important to keep the organization profitable. But what it was, when we became profitable, most of the investment was in fixing up that decay from an IT perspective, from an infrastructural perspective. Now, and it wasn't investment in growing the business. It was just fixing the legacy issues. And the challenge for us now is to say to ourselves, we need to make investment in growing the business, push the top line. And I know we're we're prioritizing those investments now. And there are things that we're doing in terms of new business opportunities, investments to make in those particular areas. And the question is, how is it going to be funded? Now, if you are investing in a capital project with positive return on investment, you can go out and borrow money to do that. If you don't, no one's going to lend you money on things which are not going to give you a positive return. So that's a challenge for us. So from an infrastructural perspective, and again to the chairperson's question on subsidy, and I think that the decline in subsidy or the elimination of subsidy is going to make it very, very difficult for us to manage not only the returns from the organisation, but also to continue the social mandate that we have. The social mandate is very, very important, and I think, and I know that the question the chairperson raised about the numbers and the amount of subsidy, we did request around about 470 million. I think we can certainly give the detail of exactly what it was. And we also requested around about 1.3 billion for the investments that needed to be made around post-bank in terms of the IT infrastructure, et cetera, in that particular area. So there are significant investments that need to be made, and we will certainly provide the committee with the exact details of that. I think the challenge from a strategy perspective, and we are reaching that time where we need to see to ourselves, what strategies do we have in place to actually ensure that we remain profitable? The big strategy is diversification. That is the key. It's the bank. We need to make sure that bank is corporatized quickly so that we can bring in new product lines on the financial services side. That is very, very important. We need to really focus on driving logistics and the courier business. The internet is driving growth in that area, but it's a highly competitive environment. Particularly in this country, we've got a lot of people playing in that particular space. That's another area that we need to focus on. So while we're doing that, on the mail side, we need to consolidate. The investments in that area should be around automation as far as possible and efficiency improvements, making sure that we can do things less expensively. So it's the areas of growth will be financial services and career, and area of consolidation will be mail, but also introducing new product lines like hybrid mail, etc. That will hopefully arrest the decline in mail orders. So that's really the strategy in that particular area. And the board is going to be going into a strategy session very, very shortly, and we'll bring into the board some significant initiatives in terms of making sure that we're firstly investing in areas that are going to grow the revenue, but also areas where we can actually improve efficiency and reduce costs. I think that was the issue around the detail. I think the question on financial services revenue, the question about what is in it. The areas from financial services perspective outside of the post bank are money transfer, where you can transfer money between postal outlets, where you get a service for that. Prepaid, where you can buy your cell phone, you can top up your cell phone account using our branches. Pay a bill, where you can pay your telephone accounts, your electricity account, and branches. Payment of government grants, we pay huge amounts on behalf of SAFA for government grants. So that's essentially the non-postal payments, or of course, my vehicle license, which is over 100 million rand business for us. And so that's grown from almost nothing to a significant business in a very short space of time. I think it's evidence of what can be done to really drive the business. We'll be looking at doing it in other particular areas as well. number of agreements with our third party where people come in and pay their bills, their telephone accounts. We have agreements or contract in place with those third parties. And the margins are very, very slim. And we actually have a fixed amount which we can collect from them. Once you start paying, the issue is the charges on credit cards. The bank charges are significantly high and may push us into a loss position on those particular product lines. So what we're going through the process is going through the process of renegotiating those contracts with third parties and saying, look, we will recover cost of credit cards and debit cards from you. A lot of them are actually quite reluctant to do that. So they're saying, look, just carry on as you do. And we don't want the additional cost. We're going through a process of doing that. And so we will hopefully be rolling out debit and credit cards in the near future. I think that covers all the issues on the broader business area. I think the question on the regulations and how is it impacting the business. I think the regulations are an interesting thing because they drive our universal mandate. But I think the challenges that we have, as I mentioned before, is actually opening non-commercial outlets, delivering mail into non-profitable parts of the country, and driving out addresses, etc., which is a costly exercise. And I think that it really is the challenge for us in trying to remain profitable, but still be funding our universal service cost, which I say is running over 400 million. So the request for continuation of the subsidy is there. I think what I'd like to do now is hand over to there were some several questions on the retail infrastructure, postal outlets and post offices, etc. Can I hand over and Ireland to answer those questions?
The first one is to commuters. Certainly, as a company, we would like to apologize, but we didn't really read the cost of this plan. I think it forms part of what the chapter can refer to in terms of our property function. But I'm happy to announce that we are, at this point in time, at the procurement stage. We have taken contact back to the site to look at the site so that they can submit their tenders. Once we have finalized the procurement process, we'll start with the construction of the two-concept process. There was a question about the national footprint or the spread of post offices. Currently, we have a total of 2,423 post offices nationally. This is a combination of company-owned branches and agencies. We have a backlog, an estimated backlog of close to 2,000, because our license agreement says that we have to provide a postal facility or outlet for every 10,000 citizens, which includes children. If we use that our shortfall is around 2,000. We are currently, engaging in CASA to see whether there's a possibility to exclude children from the criteria. Because if we exclude children up to the age of 15, our shortfall will reduce to around 800-900 outlets. But we have not yet really succeeded to convince the CASA to change the criteria. And our plan moving forward is that when we build outlets, we use an 80-20 criteria where 80% of our outlets will be established in underserved areas and 20% in the service areas, because our backlog is in the underserved areas, which means our rural areas and our townships. The other question relates to the provision of motor vehicle licenses for the new one. We do not provide motor vehicle license renewal in every post office. The Department of Roads and Transport of each province determines areas where they would like us to provide the services. So we are guided by them, hence we're not providing in all our branches. The question about the Jablani oil process building, That building belongs to the Joburg municipality. We were renting the building. When we moved out of the building to the Jabulani Mall, we handed back the building to the municipality. The question around the mobile cost of it. One of our strategies to deal with the declining subsidy, and also the fact that in some areas it's not justified to open a fully fledged cost of it. We decided to develop a mobile unit, which will use maybe up to 3 to 5 villages a day. We will determine the route and the cost of it, but we'll communicate the schedule to the affected community that at the particular time the mobile unit will be sent to this community and then the next hour to 1 hour to move to the next community. The issue about fraud committed by one of the agencies in the Mofasi area, we started with the investigation immediately. The honorable member gave us the report. We in the process now of refunding the customer, because we have to do an audit first before we can decide how much we're storing and refund them. We will be refunding all the customers affected. We will deal with the travel authority at the later stage and see how we cook the loss. But all the customers will be refunded, even I think there was one television license. In fact, that one will actually be paid back by this weekend. We tried to contact the client, but unfortunately, since the client is traveling a lot, will only be back in that area or over the weekend. But all the customers will be refunded. We were also assured by the travel authority that the fraud staff is no longer working at the agency, but we'll have to verify that we have not yet been able to verify whether that is the fact. The queue in the Rustenburg branch, we started taking action in that branch, from the president.
Sorry to interrupt as you are continuing. There's nothing wrong about what you are saying. The people from the restaurant are here. They want, I request them to take the order. People don't have time to go down and wait for people to take order, then wait for preparation of food. When we go down, we can go and eat and come back and continue. So they are here. Those who have not taken orders, you must do so. So that when we go down, we go for it, not for order. You can continue.
The queues in the Rustenburg area and in general, we started taking action or putting pressure on the branch manager in the manner in which he was managing the branch. Unfortunately, he decided to resign because I think he was struggling to manage the branch. Currently, we have an acting branch manager. But we also assure that the acting branch manager and the supervisor managing the queues. I will be sending in my oversight unit just to do a surprise visit to that branch to check whether that is happening. There was also the question about ambulance. Yes, we are soft targets. We are aware of that. Our civilian investigation unit lies with the staff on a continual basis. Staff normally provide us with areas which they determine as high risk areas. What we normally do, we look at the strengthening security in those branches by installing a bulletproof comfort screen where feasible, because they are also a challenge as well. Some of our counters will never fail to carry the weight of a bulletproof comfort screen. So in order to install them, you need to actually to renovate the entire branch and strengthen the counters. We're also looking at using time delays and auto saves in some of our branches which handle huge volumes of cash. The only difficulty we see with in terms of armed robberies is that there is now and then suspicion of maybe our own staff, you know, within which some of the syndicate. So it's difficult to determine that, because sometimes it's apparent that as soon as the case is dropped, within 2 minutes, the robot digger. So those are some of the things we deal with on a daily basis. I think that's probably most of the questions you're putting on.
Thank you, Dara. Can I ask Mr. Diaz, the head of HR, to deal with the issue around the strike action and then the issue on training?
We also wish you well in your action. Welcome to the Holy World.
Chairperson and honorable members, let me start with training. The Kapakan Post Technical for two streams of training. The first stream of training is where we get involved with external companies and communities. And that sort of training is part of our corporate social investment towards the community. Examples of those would include the training that we provide in what we call rural access. This is the sort of training where we provide, together with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and basic skills to community members. We also have somebody visiting, and one of the honorable members is referred to the skills development in local government. That's one of our partnership programs where we are involved with Sarota, Microsoft, and EBSA, where we provide training to the local government officials. Other than that, the second stream of training is really meant primarily for our employees within the South African Post Service. Some of the members might not be aware, but we do have a massive infrastructure in the form of the South African Post Office Learning Institute, and it is through this massive infrastructure that we are able to empower our employees. There was also reference to a request to indicate the various levels at which we provide this training. The sort of training that we provide is aimed at, you know, from the postman right up to the executives. And I'm going to then just concentrate on the sort of training we provide to the lower level employees and the youth, etc. We've got the normal other training that we assist employees to obtain up to grade 12, and from there then they can choose whatever stream they want to follow through universities and other institutions of learning. We've got the normal learnerships that we, in conjunction with the service CETA, we are able to provide youth of ages from 18 to 30 to enable, in other words, to teach them as specific job skills in their specific disciplines that they are interested in. And of course, we use that as a very reliable source of recruitment. In other words, where some of this we do employ depending on whether we have vacancies or not. The whole question of recognition of prior learning, this is the process that we use to expose individuals that have not been so lucky like us, who don't have formal qualifications, and what we do is we use their experience and we expose them to methodical ways and after a period of time they are able to obtain specific qualifications. Now, the highlight of this previous financial year has been in conjunction with the services speaker, where we put through 14 partially blind individuals through a new qualification in the contact center, and they've been able to obtain an NQF level 2 qualification. We also provide normal database. This is to enable our own employees to obtain higher qualifications. We also have a youth database where we enable deserving youth to continue their studies. We also, over the past year, had a program for unemployed youth. Through that, we were able to graduate 55 graduates, in particularly basic computer skills. Other than that, we've got leadership and management development programs. There are also other programs that I would refer to as other, where we've assisted other companies, for instance, the South African Reserve Bank, who've been able to expose their some of their employees to obtain relevant qualifications. We've also had a joint program together with the South African Defence Force, where we have been able to put through our training program about a number of their soldiers to enable them to be able to run post offices within the military base that we are involved with. In respect of there was also a strike that was mentioned in Kempton Park. Captain, as far as we are concerned, we believe that this was not kept under rest. There was some coverage on radio stations about this strike. Basically, the strike was about the labor broker employees who were demanding to be employed permanently. And we've been able, through engagement with some of these employees and some of the service providers, we've been able to explain to them the situation regarding the permanent employment and so on. And what one of the things that we put in place is to make sure that, because in the need, we do appoint these labor brokers permanently, and that is on a continuous basis. We have agreed with labor a process and a criteria that we use nationally to open some of these labor broker employees. And of course, it depends on the activity of the agency, etc.
The one question is that if I'm not mistaken, we are spending around 49 million. Someone raised the question of 49 million on training. Yes, 49 million. How do you spend that money? Can you break it down? If you don't have it now, it's fine. But we'd like to have a breakdown because the attendance in most instances, the top echelon, are those who enjoy themselves with training. And you find that 70% or 60% of the entire money spent up, but the lower one, the liquid is going. We don't know where do you spend that particular money. Recently, we have learned in newspapers that others have been trained consultants with their employees. So, we need clarity on this issue so that there are no ambiguity moving forward.
Yeah. That we will be able to provide that. But we've got very interesting success stories. For instance, we have an individual in the Western Cape, and there are many other success stories. An individual who was a mail processor who studied right throughout, and then recently that person has qualified, has been admitted as an attorney in the High Court, and he is in fact an advocate. Now, before he leaves, we want to bring him to head office so that we are exposed to give him enough work so that he doesn't think about it anymore. But we got many other successors.
Okay.
Thank you,
sir. And if I can take you to page 67 of your annual report, in regard to vandalism, I don't see social on the first item that says vandalism. It says to date there are 453 active part time vandalism. Who benefited out of that 453? And in the, I think the third paragraph, you are saying that South African Police Forces aim to empower the deserving youth through supporting their endeavor, blah, 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 blah. You have touched even the unemployed youth. My interest on that is your selection criteria for a person to qualify for that thing. And that, how can a person remain away if they are formed? Where can this form be accessed? I'm asking this question specifically because earlier on you made a statement that is clear to our roles as members of parliament that part of our responsibility is to do the constituency work. So this information is key when we do our
constituency where this is the part of the information that we must give the community out there. Every year in January, we do, we meet with the schools, upload educational programs. Now, if we have this kind of information and we have explanations, it's important to us to give this information. Even when you are asked questions, especially if you are coming, you must be able to respond to those questions if you, when we are asked. The other issue saying, other scheme for successful great jobs. And we have already awarded to some. I'm interested to know how many have been awarded for this current financial year and from where. Even if you cannot provide us with the detailed information now, I think we can get it next time. And the other one is a total of 55 graduates that participated in an unemployed youth program. It goes to the issue of how did you select them and where in particular. And including the digital literacy, the awareness part of it, maybe I'm also interested in this program. That's it, Chairperson, in regards to the mobile thing. And when somebody was responding to that, he didn't mention the services that the internet can provide. Is it the same services that you can get when you are in post completely to charity, or is it part of the services that can be provided? And on page 73, you are saying the corporate social investment initiatives are aimed at benefiting economically disadvantaged people, especially women, youth, and disabilities. How do you live up to this to make sure that this objective is really adhered to? Because that's far, we didn't hear anything, but we said that it's one of your key objectives. Here, just on the slide and check the performance in regard to this cause. Thank you very much.
Chair, with your permission, I just want to add on the other thing. You know, when you refer to this, our interest is to know what impact does it have on personal citizens and institutions on to the country. The if you just say we give it bizarre, like the somehow where you report about lack of skills in personal citizens, and that is why there have been vacancies and you need to fill that. Now you need to show us that annually. This is, for example, this year we gave bursaries to so many students, and these are the disciplines, whether they are doing office administration or management, or whether they are doing technical skills for telecommunication, government technicians there, or whether they are doing tertiary education kind of things. You know, we really need to have an idea. If you give in bursary, how many people you give in bursary, in which discipline, and maybe that same for the previous bursary, so many have completed this year, and these are the disciplines. So that we have an overall picture, what are you training, and what purpose does it serve, and at which capacity are you doing that. Now, if you keep on saying, you like still some managers with round things because they didn't have the management skills, and you're not showing that you're trying to capacitate that area. That's why at times you see reports are there, but they are not, they are kind of vague in that sense because they don't give you the type of report that you want, that you make you feel confident that the first of it has directed. The issue that they show are the target. They are focusing because they are addressing a problem. So I would like to hear that then ultimately hear how much are you spending on annually.
You can respond. I hear you said to the other issue you come back with us with the detailed report around that. But respond to the other issue.
Secondly, the beneficiaries of these benefits are the 99% if not 100% of those are the previously disadvantaged. In terms of the information that has been requested, we certainly provide that to the committee. We also take a point that, from the honorable member, that we haven't done as well as we would like to in terms of making available the information to the communities. And I think this requires us to inter alia visit some learning institutions and community centers to explain what assistance we can provide to these individuals.
I'm sure you see the problem is that sometimes we spend time in the committee meetings, but we still don't understand the entity. We have only recently discovered that SAPC has got a buzzer for their key. Resend, you see. So that's why maybe they are hammering on the fact that your buzzer resend, your keys must be carried at the expense of staff. Even a CEO, when he or she took his or her child to school, staff or paid the buzzer. We have such policy, which we don't understand. So that's why they are hammering on the policy. Because we have such things which we don't understand, and they seem to be just be unraveled recently. And so that's why the issue is trying to understand if your policy in that line of that person earning high affording, but still the company carry their keys for burglaries free and other things and so on. Is it that so in post office? Maybe you can just respond on that, because that's why I should keep on asking the question.
No, we don't have such a question.
Okay, thank you. You can respond.
I think the response was saying, if they don't have a bursary policy, so what informs all these things that they have done in regard to bursary? Or if they have a bursary policy, you must say to us, they have a bursary policy, but this is how it works. That's my interaction. But the answer is giving us to say there's no bursary policy.
No bursary policy.
What is guiding this?
No bursary policy for their key, like in SAPC. Can you explain us, do you have a father for you? But not for your kids. So can you then finish the detail on that, how does your father work? But the interest was this thing of fathers which are aligned to kids for employees.
We can't say what's wrong with that. We don't have it. But if
they do, they can send it for their staff. A government guarantee to them of 1 point something clear. That's what it's wrong. You can proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. We'll certainly provide all the information requested by the Honourable Member. I just would like to hand over to Shane Adams to deal with a question on Post Bank, and lastly, Mr. Phillips to deal with the Climate Bank. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Member. The question was, how does Postbank discuss the constituted differ from the commercial banks? I think there are some important distinctions. The one being that Postbank currently as a division is not fully complied with all the legislation governing banks. So, for example, we don't comply with the Banks Act and we don't comply with some of the SARB regulations. By actually corporatizing, it will actually force us then to actually institute a large number of regulatory forums and reporting mechanisms, which thus far we haven't had to comply with. In terms of the context, we've got about 6.4 million customers. 3.6 million of those are currently active, which means we currently are the fourth largest bank in South Africa. But the key impediment is that we only offer savings in that account.
I know when you deal with figures, you have to be fast to calculate how much it will make, but it does not help when you explain to people too fast.
My apologies. So in terms of context, currently, if you look at this numbers of customers, we're the fourth largest bank, because we're a truly constituted bank. We've got about 4.4 billion in deposits. So there's a disconnect in terms of our number of customers relative to our deposits. So even though we would be one to be actually corporatized, we're the fourth largest bank in terms of customers, we wouldn't have a larger deposit base because we typically serve the lower LSM categories of customers and economically disadvantaged. We do have the largest market share in the Zambia product. In terms of some of the consequences of becoming a commercial bank or offering becoming a fully constituted bank, is that enables us, as our CEO pointed earlier, to start offering new products. So, for example, it gives us an opportunity to start providing lending services, over time also bank assurance services, and that obviously reduces the exposure of the SAFO group to changes in interest rates. So, as the CEO pointed out, in a declining interest rate environment, it has a dramatic impact in terms of your overall earnings. Where if you start diversifying the new product, it creates a bit more sustainability. Some of the consequences of not being a bank as well is the fact that we can't directly participate in the national payment system. So all our transfers, electronic payments, debit orders, are actually sponsored through Standard Bank. There's obviously a cost attached to it. There's also consequences in the sense that we can't participate in new payment streams. So one of the benefits as well from obviously corporatizing is starting to participate directly, reducing costs, and also offering new services in terms of payments. And I think that's it from my side. Alex, any other questions?
Yeah, I tried, but it's not a computer. It's not a
computer. We don't, my understanding is we don't have a client statistics with us, but we can certainly provide that to you with anything else that we're going to be going to have. I don't know if there's any other questions. I think that we try to cover most of them.
Okay, Chair, I just wanted to deal with your questions on the regulatory constraints. I think, Chair, this is right. I was very happy when you asked that question, because we have been pleading from the post office with the Honourable Portfolio Committee on Communication Matters to make sure that when they appoint the councillors for the CASA, we need now, I think, a specific clause or something that talks to both sides competency in terms of amongst the people that are being appointed, because we always have to shout, and most of the people focus on telecommunications. So we are seriously pleading with this committee to make sure with new vacancies that open within ICASA, they make sure that at least some of the people that are coming in have the postal experience. We actually sometimes feel that we need to have a bigger portfolio within, not just in terms of counselors, but focus. Because it's an area that we believe that the more people we have within the council who have an understanding and strong focus on counselors, the better we'll be able to deal with the issues. Because we do have issues that we would like to pick up from that perspective. But around that also, we dealt with the post bank Act and the post office being to act amendment. The critical area that we need to look at, which is discussed with the minister, and he's asked us to assist in working with the department, is around the Postal Services Act. Looking at the Postal Services vision and strategy. So part of what Nick was talking to in the board strategy is where we are looking at specifically that. We've taken the lead from our side to deal with the question of the overall term of what is the need in the area. We started with the demand study so that we have a sense now we're building on that, because we want to come back to the committee via the ministry with clarity in terms of how we, because the issues of sustainability and viability that are being raised here are very much linked to the overall strategy of the postal sector within the country. And that is something that we would want to make sure that we do that. So I just wanted to say from that perspective, we have taken, even in our last meeting with the committee, it was raised that this is something that we need to look at. We took that and started working on it, and we are hopeful that next year we'll be able to report. So I just want to lastly say that, Chair, we have, on the job creation side, we've taken that seriously. We are now working on the review of jobs, direct and indirect. Indirect jobs talk to the areas of procurement, how much of our procurement goes into creative jobs. So management is working with that. But also the numbers, sometimes we'll say how many jobs are you creating every year. And we might not show directly new jobs being created. But our focus is to look at the temporary stuff being made permanent stuff. This is work. Is falling part of the focus of what we're doing. The financial year we're reporting on were 392 people that were made permanent staff. It is something that we're focusing on, but we have agreed, I think, always. We do discuss with the union to ensure that we focus on the selection properly. It just doesn't happen automatically. It needs to be done properly in terms of that. If next year, to honor the members, one of the areas that we have been working on an investigation. patient, saying that now we need to all get some back on what we did talk about it, but we've got next year, but we're continuing with this and coming to previous in the area of labor brokers. We're not finalizing our work as a board, but we're doing a lot of work in the area because that was another area that we identified some problems that we're focusing on. So we are not finalized, and next year we'll be able to bring more clearly. That is our final presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, final means final, but I see a hand there. The one. Now they must respond. And if you ask questions, what you want to say will come from the one from who will respond.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. I'm not being rejected for disobedience to the Chair. When I raised my hand, when you understood her saying that there was the end. Just two things, just about the question about declining revenue and the profitability and our strategy. We, as a board and management, we are engaged in a process of being the impact of technology on mail delivery and on the business in general, that we leverage on it as a new revenue stream. And I think in our new strategy document, this will be fairly outlined as to how do we intend to do that. It's a very exciting area, which I think that it will position the post office correctly for future business, especially post the incorporation of the post bank. Chair, the most important point was actually raised by you, as you pointed out, arising from your deliberation with the department that we are accountable to. And this relates to the question of absence. The honorable members and our board will remember that last year, this was a center of serious debate between us, and we did make a plea around it. If the department chairperson, local chairperson, is intending that at 2014-2015, they intend giving us the money that you mentioned, please do that instead, rather than as indicated in our figures that the year that we were told that would be the last year of the subsidy. So maybe on their side, they are reviewing that. And if indeed they are reviewing that and they are in discussions with the committee with regard to the allocation of those 5 years, I would say that we would not mind if that allocation is coming again towards us. In broader chat, we discussed vendor list and people benefiting out of it. Now, there's a very important announcement that I just want to make around people then qualifying. Chair, our chairperson got a PhD this year from the University of Stellenbosch from the Department of Economic and Management Studies. But I can assure the community it was not through a journalist from me. Thank you very much.
I wonder whether I will be disclosing it. Honourable
Senator. I hope it's not money from Papo. I hope so, but this kid has but me, they will tell us. Not a person, I just wanted to be sure that I'm not the issue. That Papo will do that, will submit, it will include that 49 billion because of the hours spent. And the other issue is the issue of the internet. I was not here when the meeting started, but these figures is there, please. I'm okay. As I remember during the last visit by the Papo, it was a key issue. The last one
is in regard to the audit logistics and audit risk subcommittee. How often do they do this? Because according to the report, there is not only one. Why? Yeah, it needs to be just looked at to look at. And I think I also have to ask another question in regard to the board. And then it was responded to when I was outside. So the issue of the board meeting. I'm not sure if it's a board of the board.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I also want to congratulate the Chair for the PhD. But remember, when you get this PhD, that's a bigger challenge. The bigger challenge is you don't want doctors who don't give PhD. If doctors are there, it's like to see patients in hospitals and being cured. So the big challenge is that now that we've got it, I'm sure the first office portfolio is going to be a big change in the first office. A more serious problem, a more serious issue. You see, one listing of the SAGC having people whose children are part of the listing. In a private sector, you can go there and tell you what are the employees who are children who need to take them to school is part of the package. Yes, the income of package. You see, the government is there to provide the service. And I'm saying it mustn't just be academic. That's only a part of the policy. It mustn't just be academic measures that will determine. It must be also linked test. In other words, even if you get a child from the employee who has 6 distinctions in metric, which qualify him academic. You also have to check whether the parents can afford to take him to school. Because it is the chance of a CEO and a CEO only, that's the only chance. And the CEO can take him to school, but because the parents say two children can be taken to school. As government, we can't, because there are so many other children who are put outside there whose parents can't afford to take them to school. From informal settlements, so I'm saying the criteria should be in our policy, academic merit to a certain extent, and faculty very important means test.
You can respond to the committee thing, but we should be breaking for lunch.
Thank you, Chair. I'll quickly respond to the one on the committee. The board members, the committee on audit is a new committee member. I think the reason is because one, it was just introduced. So in terms of the last financial year, it was just that one meeting. So now, I mean, it was something that we introduced. That's why I was putting it out of the slides. But in the last financial year, we introduced that. And it was because of our, you know, heightening and intensifying oversight that we introduced that. So that's why. Otherwise, formal board meetings are scheduled for 4 times a year. But as honorable members will appreciate, when you have the kind of situation we've had some special meetings. But we are stronger on board committees in the sense that the board committees sit and deal with the specific issue so that our board meetings are not being. So the risk committee will continue meeting to deal with a particular issue, but no committee makes any decisions. The decisions are made by the board. So that's the thing. Of the 49, I'm not sure who can answer that one.
The 49 is linked to training. We're waiting for the breakdown, and which will be accompanied by the breakdown of how the 49 million is being is coming there. Yeah.
I think last year, just to indicate on the question of the strikes and all that, I was reminded that we haven't formally reported that we have two unions. I mean, we've got various unions in the logistics.
Let me help you, Chair. This group of yours, they promised last time that they are going to give us a comprehensive report on the labor issues. We are going to include the issue of the two unions and how officials within post offices played out along those issues. We have not received that report.
So I would appreciate that we need that report. Then we can talk about the report. We have not submitted that report, and you promised a week or so for presentation.
I think the essence here of this
We need that report to also link to your labor court litigation cases and so on, all those things. That report is not really up to date. But thank you very much, Chairperson, and your board members, executive, active. Congratulations for your achievements. I hope we're not going to have such a lot of people who are sick in the context of the company. We appreciate your report, but there are a few issues which we need to upgrade on and moving forward. One is the issue of the sustainability moving forward. I think we are indicating that we are busy grappling with that question, but we need a comfort where you can tell us how are you moving forward around that. You have thrown a lot of things which you have to be in line with technology development, trying to be innovative moving forward and so forth. We need a clear plan how to mitigate this technology changing environment. And so I think that's one thing which you must be able to help us. The second thing is that you must help us with the national footprint in terms of when are we going to have 100% universal access in the context of postal services. But I understand that the technology or is converging in such a manner that you can no longer distinguish. But until then, you go to obligation. When do you think that we are going to meet that requirement, that particular coverage and so on? Because, and break it down and clear where are you and where are you going to? You see, when you go to Centec and say frequencies, they just press the button, the whole country comes, then they will tell you, yeah, and so on. This is where you want to go. What such a thing, because we want to be scientific on what we do. So you must tell us when to cover and so on. And please, the problem you have committed is that you have continued to perpetuate the previous government preference. That's the other problem. Because the way you roll out, if you look at the National Post Office, you roll out in advantage areas are more different from those in disadvantage. So what you are perpetuating, you are not helping. Although people are getting the service, but you see that in rural areas, the type of the post offices you are even rolling out. You go to centers in Nelson and look at post office, then you drive 40 kilometers to Matu. The Matu ones like, you know where, just forgot the name, but you see that it looks like a prison or something like that. You go to the one in Steltas, it's more welcoming, open, and other things and so on. And that mentality is what the apartheid government is still in our minds on how should black people, services, or equipment look like. And you just continue with that. But when you go to the towns and so on, your post office are much better. So we must help us also to deal with the mindset as we roll out because there seems to be a gap there. So we don't understand why it's a gap in terms of those who think we are a unitary state. So we must help us there. Don't perpetuate the apartheid ideas in terms of how infrastructure must look like in black dominated areas, in various advantaged areas and so on. Well, but we need a plan. When are you going to complete that? I take the view of 2,000 and whatever number given remaining to meet the 10,000. Believe me, we won't agree for you to exclude children from this committee. You can engage the other one, but won't agree from here that you do that because 70% of African continent is 30 years downward, becoming young, which means we are becoming a young continent. South Africa are about 70% young as a country and so on. So the issue of youth become more important at any stage and so on. So you can engage, probably if you come and make a detailed presentation, you can understand what really we're talking about. That's the other issue. We'll engage with you also about your request. I'm sure it was the committee recommendation last year. Last year, the issue of the subsidy need to be looked in the context of you meeting universal service obligations. but they were not promising the appropriation committee and treasurer to decide. We can only express our views on those particular matters and so on. So I think those are the issues, and then the issues which you say you want to ask as outstanding matters and so on. Otherwise, we thank very much, Chairperson, and must thank the decisiveness of your board in dealing with the issues which we have been dealing with, in particular if one of the suspects are involved in such alleged actions and so on. But you manage the board to be resolved on that matter and be able to take that matter forward. But like I indicated, that I would wish to see the net widen so that we deal with the rot in Sapo, because it's not their own. It's going down, they are fighting serious problems and so on in terms of how managers behave at various levels and so on. But of course, not all of them are not to be said to the world. But we appreciate your attitude in dealing with the matter, and also thank the post office employees who came forward and maintain the issue that they want this matter being dealt with, and the organized by the post office who have been vocal also in this particular matter that must be dealt with and so on. So our appreciation. We hope that we are going to protect those people who came forward. Because the issue is that sometimes people come forward then they become a victim. And in a confidential note, we should be able to follow up whether those people are being post office or they've been pushed out. Because we don't want to encourage a culture where people disclose and then the next thing they are getting all over from both managers or whoever alleged to be involved. So I'll appeal that to come up with a strategy to protect those people. I'm not saying when they decide to do other wrong things that they must not be dealt with because they happen to raise issues. They should be, but they should be protected. Because I think they've done one honorable thing for this country when you talk about unraveling corruption. And that's exactly what they've done. If there was an award in post office, I was there to say, give them that, the highest award in post office in terms of how type of nature of people we want in these entities who are able to stand up and be counted in terms of fighting corruption and so on and deal with the issues related to corruption. So I think those are the issues. Chair, thanks very much. We wish you well, but we are not impressed with that. We are going back in terms of your unqualified statement that AG must emphasize certain issues. We hope next time it will be clean, or unclean, clean, because this time clean is something else, unclean is something else. Otherwise, thanks very much. Thank you.
Excuse me? Hi, lunch room is downstairs. You just go downstairs and then you see on your right hand side the table and everything that is set up.
Members, we are starting at 2.